Call to order the Senate Committee on Business, Transportation, and Economic Development. We're in a subcommittee. Open a work session on HCR 17. We will call forward Mr. Van Etta.
That's scary.
Good afternoon. I am Fred Van Etta, appearing before you on behalf of the Professional Land Surveyors of Oregon. I'm pleased to be here to discuss HCR 17, which is a resolution lauding a very historic individual and recognizing a group of surveyors that are going to honor his major contribution to the Western United States by making a canoe trip, which I will discuss in a moment. But first, let me quote from the Oregon Historical Society Quarterly. This anniversary year on the Columbia River has special significance to those residing along its upper courses, as well to those at its mouth. We honor the name of the first man of the white races who explored and made permanent record of the sources of this magnificent stream and who was the first to traverse its entire length from the source to the mouth. That being David Thompson, pathfinder of the Columbia River. He is noted, by the way, on the names around the House chambers. David Thompson is noted there. This quarterly Oregon Historical Society publication is volume 12, dated September 1911, celebrating the 100th anniversary of Mr. Thompson's trip the full length of the Columbia. We are now celebrating the 200th year of his trip and the entire length of the Columbia. On June 2, approximately 15 Voyager canoes will leave Infirmary, British Columbia on an 1,100-mile trip to Astoria via the Kootenai, the Clark Fork, and the Columbia Rivers. They will arrive in Portland about the 15th of July, 2011. And it is at that time I hope to that we can present House Concurrent Resolution 17 to the team. I can quickly summarize David Thompson's contribution, and he was the surveyor who over his career mapped more than 309 million square kilometers of North America, nearly one-fifth of the continent, and he's been described as the greatest land geographer who ever lived. But he kept meticulous notes on his travels and on all the survey marks that he placed during his years as a surveyor. And that perhaps is a very short summary, but I recognize the committee has much work to do. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Van Etta. Any questions for Mr. Van Etta? Thank you. We are in work session. Chair moves HCR 17 to the floor to adopt. Resolution. Is there any questions, comments? Mm-mm. Anybody opposed? Mm-mm. Pass HCR 17 to the floor with the do adopt resolution. See, we have Tracy is here from Enterprise. Okay, that's a long way. So we will change the agenda to meet her schedule. Open the work session on House Bill 3579. Would you please brief us on the bill?
Sure. Senate Bill 3579A prohibits motor vehicle sales or lease advertisements from including specific claims regarding the trade-in value of property being offered in exchange for payments toward a motor vehicle. It establishes exemptions for certain types of information for use by motor vehicle advertisements. There's no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you for coming all the way from Enterprise.
Well, thank you, members of the committee.
Please tell us why this is a good bill.
Absolutely. And we're from Enterprise Rent-A-Car, just to clarify.
Enterprise what?
Rent-A-Car. Not the city.
Oh, brother.
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
It says Enterprise and that you've lived for more than 200 miles away.
I know. I appreciate you accommodating that schedule, though.
Oh, well, then, all right. Go ahead, anyway.
My name is Tracy.
Make a reference towards Enterprise, Oregon. It might help you out.
I'm Tracy Bray, the Group Car Sales Manager for our Retail Sales Division of Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and I appreciate being able to speak today on behalf of House Bill 3579.
So we already passed that for.
The House Bill does is it allows the reference of a trade evaluation publication in advertising. So the current legislation prohibits the use of the terms Kelley Blue Book or Edmunds, for example, evaluation tools that can be misleading to a consumer. What we're attempting to do with the proposed legislation is to just use those words because it's our attempt to just define the process by which we evaluate trades in Enterprise and at other dealerships. There are dealerships across the state of Oregon doing the very same thing, which is, in a way, a huge way of protecting consumers and leveling the playing field for consumers. But a dealership doing this cannot advertise this offering to consumers today. So, for example, when a customer comes to a dealership and the dealership is evaluating a trade-in with a Kelley Blue Book process, it's very possible for the consumer to go online the night before with all the access there is now to this information online and essentially evaluate their own vehicle, print out the Kelley Blue Book or the Edmunds value of the vehicle that they're trading in, and walk into the dealership the very next day with a value in mind, a price range in mind, essentially, for their vehicle. When the dealership can advertise that this is the way that they evaluate the trade as well, the consumer and the dealership can, you know, take a little bit of the gamesmanship out of the process. And that's what we're attempting to do by saying, hey, just let us advertise the use of an evaluation tool. That way the process of a trade-in is a little less transparent, or more transparent, I mean. That way we all come to the table with the same information the very next day when the consumer is purchasing the vehicle. Enterprise has been doing this for the last 3 years. We sell cars nationally. We sold 65,000 vehicles in 2010. Oregon is the only state that prohibits the reference to a trade-in publication and advertising. And we believe dealers across the state of Oregon can benefit from this. The change that we're requesting does not require any other dealership to make any change. It just allows those to do so if they choose to.
Thank you, Al.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Al Elkins, representing the Car and Truck Rental Leasing Association of Oregon. Mr. Fuller will be here today with testimony from the independent auto dealers in support of this bill. He asked me to pass that on to you.
Thank you.
And also, we have a letter from the Auto Dealers Association also in support of this bill.
Great. Mr. Fuller, would you like to come up and say what he just said yourself? Make it very quick, please. Al, don't run away. There might be a very hard question from Senator G. Rod.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Darrell Fuller on behalf of the Oregon Vehicle Dealers Association. We heartily support the bill. It's a good idea. It should pass. Thank you.
Hardly or heartily?
Heartily. Heartily. Excuse my enunciation.
Questions for the esteemed panel? Great. Thank you. We're in a work session. Does anybody have a motion?
Chair, I move the bill to the floor with a due-pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Starr has moved the bill to the floor with a due-pass recommendation. Is there any comments, suggestions? Anybody opposed? Then the bill is moved to the floor with a due-pass recommendation. Senator Starr will carry.
Oh, geez.
Jason, I'm serious. Stop doing
it so
hard.
I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Let's see.
I have to
We'll open a public hearing on 2069. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 2069 amends the initial loan terms of the Special Public Works Fund to 30 years from 25 years, or the usable life of a project, whichever is less.
Assume you're Lynn?
I am, sir.
Great. Is Ann Hannes here? Go ahead, Lynn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Lynn Chesler. I am the Deputy Director of the Business Oregon Department, as well as the Director of the Infrastructure Finance Authority. The Special Public Works Fund is a municipal loan program administered by our Infrastructure Finance Authority, and throughout the state, municipalities rely upon the Special Public Works Fund to help them finance the necessary infrastructure for their communities. Those infrastructure improvements either provide job creation or retention activities, or it improves the health and safety and quality of life in those Oregon towns. Two situations confront the IFA as it works with communities. The first is the affordability of the systems and the solutions those localities seek. The second is the quality of those systems and the improvements and the cost that the quality incurs as well. As utilities become more expensive, the affordability or the yearly debt payment that the communities make to the department, it continues to escalate. And obviously, municipalities want the lowest possible monthly user charges for the residents. So what this bill does is expands from the current statutory limit of 25 years to a statutory limit of 30 years to help amortize that debt over a longer period and thereby modestly reduce that monthly payment that the user has to pay. The other thing that this bill responds to, the second issue, is what happens over possibly the life of that project in a community. Sometimes circumstances result in a community being faced with the inability to make their payments. This could happen as a course of, say, a flood that interrupts the whole system entirely, or the loss in a small town of a major employer. Current statute allows us to suspend the payments for that community while they get themselves back on their feet, but it doesn't allow us to amortize the debt back out past that original 25-year period. So we're pushing some debt forward for them, and then they have to catch up in that 25-year period. This bill allows us to re-examine the remaining life of that system, and if there is 30 years left in the life of that system, amortize the debt again over the 30 years to get them back to a payment schedule that's fits their original budget. And with that, I would close unless you have any questions.
Ms. Hannes?
For the record, I'm Ann Hannes. I'm with the Association of Oregon Counties, Chair Atkinson, members of the committee. We support this bill. It makes sense because it will make very expensive infrastructure projects more affordable to communities and provide some more flexibility, especially in situations that Lynn outlined. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. Questions for the panel? Thank you. Close the public meeting on House Bill 2069. Thank you.
There is one written testimony from Chris Flick in support of measure.
Thank you. Open a work session on House Bill 2069. Mr. Starr, do you have a motion?
Chair, move the bill to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Starr has moved House Bill 2069 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any objections?
No.
Seeing none. Bill has the floor with a due pass recommendation. Senator Edwards will carry. Open a public meeting on a public hearing on House Bill 3181. Would you please brief us on the bill?
Senate Bill 3181 specifies that a permit to practice public accountancy expires if it has not been renewed for 6 years. There's no revenue impact and minimal fiscal impact.
Thank you. Ray Johnson, are you signed up twice? Is there two Ray Johnsons here?
Yep, and then I signed myself up.
Great. Well, Ray, you can come up now and come up again if you like. And Stephen Cornell, please come up. Mr. Douglas, are you joining?
No, thank you.
Go ahead.
My name is Ray Johnson. I'm chair of the Oregon Board of Accountancy.
Chair, if all accountants had this week off.
It would be nice. So I'm here to testify in favor of this bill. as a member of the Board of Accountancy, we found that there's probably a couple, in many ways, there are housekeeping issues and things will clarify things for our licensees. One of the things this does is we found that we've needed clarification on inactive status and what that would mean when people step out of the profession. We found in going through our roles, we have some people who have chosen inactive status that are actively working in CPA firms, and we feel that that's inappropriate. For all intents and purposes, they're trying to avoid a continuing professional education requirement that the board believes that they should have. The other thing it will do is allow us to kind of clean up our roles. We have a lot of people who have let their licenses lapse, i.e. they haven't renewed it. Some of these people haven't renewed. The last time was maybe 30 years ago, maybe more. What this will do is allow a practitioner to go into lapse status for 3 renewal periods, after which they're going to have to make a decision to either come back into the profession on inactive or active status or let their license go away.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Stephen McConnell, for the record. I'm a former chair of the Oregon Society of CPAs and also a former member of the Board of Accountancy. The Oregon Society of CPAs supports this measure. We worked actively with the board in crafting it, and we believe that it not only is effective for the board, but also creates is good public policy and good for the protection of the public.
Thank you. Mr. McConnell, I apologize. I thought your first N was an R. Thank you for coming. Questions for the board? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else like to testify? Mr. Douglas says no. Closed public meeting, public hearing on 3181. Open a work session on House Bill 3181.
Mr. Chair, I move the bill to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 3181 to the floor with due pass recommendation. Is there any comments, questions, concerns, objections? The bill has moved to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Close the work session on House Bill 3181. Representative Burdick, would you like to carry this bill?
Not a representative, Mr. Chair.
I said senator.
I thought you said representative.
Okay. Senator?
I'd be happy, Mr. Chair.
Oh, she'd be delighted. Thank you.
We are going to carry a minority report.
You tapped the gavel at the passage of the bill, but you didn't tap the gavel. This was the floor here.
I'm afraid to tap.
Light.
Well, we can either work my bill on the state of Jefferson, or we can wait a half an hour for Speaker Roblin, or we can move his bill and tell him what a wonderful job we assumed he did. I suggest the latter.
I agree.
Open work session on HCR 4. Would you please tell us about the bill?
Sure. HCR 4 designates Reedport as chainsaw carving capital of Oregon. There's no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
Is there any impact altogether?
Don't you represent
sure
the carving capital?
Okay, is anyone here to testify on the chainsaw carving bill? Speaker Simmons, I see you in the audience. Would you like to testify on this bill?
I appreciate the opportunity, Senator, but a good bill should pass.
Oh, you kisser.
Does anyone have any comments about the question?
Well, I think Elgin might be the wood carving capital of the state.
Well, it's a capital of a lot of things, but I don't think chainsaws are one of them. Could be wrong.
Mill City.
Okay. I move HCR 4 to the floor with a due adopt recommendation. Is there any questions, comments, concerns, or anybody opposed? Seeing and hearing none, HCR 4 is moved to the floor with a due adopt recommendation. Close the work session. Adjourn the committee.
Are you carrying both of us? Are you just carrying?
Whoever represents
Reedport
out of care.
Yeah, whoever represents
Reedport. 17
Yeah.
You're doing.
Get quick.